There will be too many people in the world by 2100. That's how many demographic experts see the near future. 9.1 billion by 2050, just over 10 billion by 2100. Those are the figures that are widely put forward. And some argue that will put enormous pressure on food supplies, our access to water, and on the wider environment. But perhaps we are worrying unnecessarily. Danny Dorling is Professor of Geography at Sheffield University in Northern England. He's arguing that the change we should really prepare for is the population decline that will occur after 10 billion. Danny, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
That's not to say we shouldn't worry about 10 billion first, though, is it?
Oh, we should worry about how we're going to look after each other, feed each other, and also the pollution we'll cause. But the kind of the big news behind the 10 or maybe even 11 billion figure is a slowdown, because this is about a figure that we expect not to surpass. And the slowdown's already in place. We had our highest number of babies ever way back in 1990. Currently, we have our highest number of 18-year-olds worldwide, which might partly explain why there's so much trouble around the world. But we know, because there's been fewer babies born since 1990, that there'll be fewer children, fewer 18-year-olds. These will have fewer children in their turn. And so population is slowing down rapidly. The main reason we're heading towards 10 or 11 billion is because we're aging. So it's not more of us. It's more of us hanging around for longer, so that at any one time there'll be more people on the planet.
And that clearly is not a problem for each individual, but it is a problem collectively, isn't it?
It could be a problem collectively, but for the last 200 years, people have been saying that there'll be too many people. And then we've got to that number, and it hasn't turned out to be too many, and we've worried about the next number. The point is, or what's new this time, is that for the first time for 200 years, we can actually see this massive slowing down. We put the brakes on. We're still going forward, but the brakes have been on since 1971. And we can know what it is we're planning for. Before that, it really did look a bit apocalyptic in that population growth was going up and up. And it was very, very hard to think this is going to stop. But it has slowed down for 40 years now.
OK. Danny, let me bring both my guests in. I don't doubt we'll be keen to ask you questions on the basis of what you've just put forward. Christine, let me bring you in first.
Well, the point about the ageing of world population is very well put. And it's an issue that we in Europe have to face vis-à-vis the immigration issue, because there have been studies showing that indeed if we want to keep the same relation between working people and retired people, Europe, for instance, should have many more immigrants than we do now. And that, of course, is an issue which in political terms is still quite explosive in many European countries.
Danny, come back on that before I bring Salwa in.
Yes, certainly. If Europe was to be less hostile about immigration, it wouldn't age so rapidly. But similarly for Japan, which has talked about being less hostile for immigration, and in the future, China. And when people move to a country with lower fertility, they themselves tend to have fewer babies than the people that they left behind. So greater immigration actually slows down world population even faster.
It also, though, makes far greater use of the services in a given country where these people arrive, and those who are there already resent that, don't they?
They can do, but you've got to think the sewer systems have already been built in these countries, the roads and the houses have been built. In many parts of Europe, we've got a declining population. Do we want people building cities even larger in other parts of the world while we're demolishing parts of cities in these old parts of the world?
Sawa.
Well, Danny, I think, you know, while you may be right that the Earth can support the 10 billion and more, I think the question is in what way it can, if we would be seeing increased inequalities, more of the massive inequalities that we already see.
I would agree. I find it impossible to work out how we would cope with 10 or 11 billion people on the planet with our current level of inequality. Mm-hmm. Without a reduction in inequalities, it's very hard to extrapolate forward, because a small group of people at the top simply end up consuming more and more and more. But as we age, we might become more wise and a bit less greedy. But that is to be very optimistic.
but just on the continuation on the immigration theme, I mean, think about it. We tend to think that, well, who's going to get accepted as immigrants? And it's the best and the brightest. So we are also still continuing our really that imbalance of those who have the most continue to have more and more.
Well, that's often the official plan of policymakers. Yeah. But the practice of immigration, of who actually gets through and who ends up in places, tends to be very different. If you look back at the previous area of immigration, California, yeah, 100 years ago, was the immigration centre of the world. A large number of immigrants came from China. The plan was never for that to happen. The second highest rate of immigration in the world 100 years ago was in the Welsh Valleys, because people came for black coal. Immigration has always, people have always found a way to get to the places where there are jobs and a demand for humans, even if governments try to get the supposedly, you know, most economically able, other people make it.
Interesting, Christine, in the context of you raising immigration in the first place and what Danny's just said, that there is, you know, clearly a tendency for people to get somewhere if they're determined enough, and also for the countries concerned to pick and choose as carefully as they can.
Yes, but I think it's a very positive phenomenon. And look at what's happening in sub-Saharan Africa. You now have, you know, a generation of better educated young people, including many women. You now have more women moving out of their natural, you know, their place of birth, if they think that they cannot find the right opportunities for the kind of lives they want to lead, and who go out and try and find jobs elsewhere. And I think that's it's a very positive side of globalization, and it's not only, you know, it's no long, it, there is still the immigration of very, very poor people trying to get out and trying to find some hope somewhere, but there's a new kind of migration, and that's very true, by the way, within the European Union, where migration movements are extremely reactive to economic situations from one country to the other.
Yes, no, I'd agree. And one fascinating new thing is that often it's led by young women now rather than young men within Europe, because far more young women go to university within Europe than young men.
This is
a new phenomenon of the women moving first into the cities which are still growing or where there are things to do, and the men coming later. Mm-hmm. That's completely new.
Can we have you back on, Danny, when we hit 2100 and it's 10.1 billion and see how it all, see how it's all gone?
I'm afraid I won't be here then.
Well, you don't know. We're living longer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Danny Dorling's book is called Population 10 Billion, The Coming Demographic Crisis and How to Survive It, as you've...